Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. And as always, we're going to be taking your questions. But if you haven't been with us in the last few weeks, we've switched from Twitter over to Facebook. So make sure you're heading over to the Buccaneers Facebook page to submit any of your questions, comments. And we're going to be looking at a lot of those today because largely there really hasn't been a whole lot of news in the last week. We had periods of time where there was the combine and there was owners meetings and there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. And then free agency, and now it feels like...
So you're saying it's up to the fans to get the show going, right?
Basically, yeah, it's all on
you
guys.
We got nothing, y'all.
It's all on you guys. But
you got the tablet now.
I know, I feel a lot fancier.
Much better
way to do this. That's what we've discovered is that with the Facebook, they were rolling through so quickly that on my phone I was struggling to keep
rolling.
Up.
So, yeah. We're kind of in the eye of the hurricane here in terms of news. You know, free agency has passed, the stuff that comes out of the owner's meeting with rule changes and so on. The draft is 15 days away, I think, and not much going on right now. This is the time of year when the schedule usually drops, and I think that's probably exactly why they do it this time, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I looked back at it last year, and the preseason schedule, or at least the weeks and the teams you're playing, came out at some point this week, and the corresponding week to the last year, and the regular season schedule came out the corresponding week to next week. So we don't know exactly when either of those things are happening, but they're relatively soon. They should be before the draft, we expect.
Right, exactly. So for now, we also, I know everyone's been asking 1,000 draft questions, so while I start to pull up these questions here, we just did a roundtable discussion about how many quarterbacks
where
will they go? Will they be before the Bucs? How many are there going to be? Which all offseason we've been saying that is the determining factor in what is available for the Bucs at 7.
Of course it is, yeah.
So why don't you kind of start off with what your thought was and what we all said and what your
That was my idea. I wrote to you and Carmen Vitale into this idea of let's try to predict what is considered the consensus top four, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold. What teams are going to take them and where? Because that matters critically to the Buccaneers, you know? And as I've said before, it can be a good answer whether a lot of them go quickly or not, because you can either, if four of them go before the Buccaneers, then you know you're going to get one, you're going to at least have the opportunity to get one of those three that are largely considered the best three prospects, right? We don't know necessarily that the guys upstairs have narrowed it down to those three. They may have five guys they think are the best or something like that, and position availability may play into that as well. But then if you don't have those quarterbacks go as quickly as we think, the number 7 spot could end up being a very fertile spot for any team that wants to trade up. You know, if an Arizona at 15 is starting to get worried that the quarterback they want is going to go at 12 or something like that, you know, there's 1,000 scenarios. They're calling the Bucs. I truly believe that if three or fewer quarterbacks go in the top 6 picks, and now the Bucs are on the clock. I don't know if there's going to be a trade, but I truly believe that they will be getting phone calls up there.
Right. Yeah, so that actually is the very first question I was going to read is perfect with that. Cody said, with us being so aggressive in free agency, does that make it more likely we'll trade back?
Well, yeah, I would say it gives you that flexibility that they were talking about. You know, what free agency did is we don't know yet. It didn't necessarily solve the defensive line. We hope that it did.
Right.
It certainly gave you numbers there. It gave you the guys you anticipate being starters in Vinnie Curry and JPP and Bo Allen, and you got Mitch Unrein. You got a good rotation already, and you got some guys you hope will be good edge rushers. Had you not done that in free agency, boy, you'd be really desperate for edge rush in this draft. And maybe you'd look at it and go, well, Bradley Chubb probably doesn't make it to 7. There's not another guy we like. We may not be able to do this. We may not be able to find a guy that's going to be this incredible, we think, edge rusher. So we have to build it some other way. Maybe it's a good class for defensive tackles. Maybe you draft one of those and try to get more pressure up the middle and hope that helps the edges. But, yes, I think that and the Ryan Jensen thing in my mind, now, again, we always have to say we're not trying to tell you this is what Jason Light or Dirk Cutter
need.
We do
not know.
You know,
Jason
can
does
conjecture.
Not consult us.
Yeah, he may feel the same way, and certainly there seems to be a consensus on this. I would think if the Buccaneers had a shot at Quentin Nelson, the guard, or Bradley Chubb, the defensive end, they would be ecstatic and they would jump at it despite the fact that of what we did in free agency. But what we did in free agency makes it less annoying that both those guys are probably going to be gone. And that does go, if now we're shooting for something in the secondary and there's a little bit more mid-round depth there, I think it makes you more receptive to listening.
Okay. Keon said, I would like Derwin James. I think he seems like the most realistic option. What do you think?
Well, in terms of who will be there, I mean, I think a trio of defensive backs. If you just look at all the mock drafts, you know, as you and I constantly say, we don't go upstairs and watch 15 hours of film every day, right?
Right.
So we know, like the average fan, how good these guys are, and we see them in mock drafts, and we see them getting visits, you know, to teams. So you'd think they're on their radars, and there's Minka Fitzpatrick, there's Denzel Ward, there's Derwin James. I think any one of them would realistically be there at seven. So we just need to know which one fits the Bucks' needs best, or which one they think in the long run is going to be the biggest star. And I agree, Derwin James could be that guy. I mean, he certainly seems to have the highest ceiling.
Yeah, that's true. This isn't a question, but I just thought it was great. Berg said, just moved to the area, can't wait to hit every home game this season.
All right.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Well, the
schedule's
going to come out soon.
Yeah, that's actually, that'll be some of the news that we'll finally have to discuss,
yeah.
Which never means anything. We always say based on last year's season, what the schedule says, and it never goes the way that we think in terms of which games are.
But the fans are going to be able to buy tickets.
Exactly, yeah. The tickets will go on sale, and it's going to be super exciting to see
when
that.
And where, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. So Michael said, do you think it's more likely we trade down or take the actual pick at seven?
More likely that you take the actual pick because, as one scout told me, you know, we were talking about trading down. And says, yeah, that makes a lot of logical sense, but you're not sitting there in the draft room with this trade down button on your table and you just hit it and boom, you trade it down. You got to find a partner.
Yeah. And,
you know?
Well, and that was our next question. Alberto said, do you think that the Bills are the most likely trade partner?
Yeah, because it just seems logical that they made that move. They had the 22 and the 21, and then they traded up from 21 to 12. That far before the draft, it just seems illogical to me that they would trade up to 12 targeting a specific player. Like, maybe they trade up to 12 to get Tremaine Edmonds or Roquan Smith or one of the linebackers, but it doesn't seem like you could really nail down very well that guy was going to be there. Trading from 21 to 12 that far before the draft, what's the value in that in terms of targeting a specific player? What it looks like they're doing is positioning themselves because they still have other picks in the second and third round.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go from, they can play it by ear and they can see the draft unfolding going, boy, the quarterbacks are not coming off the board. I think there's a good chance Baker Mayfield lasts till 12.
Right.
Because probably teams 7 through 11 are not taking quarterbacks. Now you have to worry about teams trading into that spot. But, they could do that, or they could see the quarterback start to go, and they knew and they prepared and they have the ammunition to move from 12 to 5, whether it means packaging 12 and 21, or they can just take one of their second or third round picks and move up a few spots.
Okay. Tanner said, do you think that we could trade back and get a guy like Geis in the first round, or how far back could you go and still get a running back like Geis?
Yeah, those running backs on all the mocks that I see, and it seems logical to me, tend to be, after the first one, Barkley, tend to be coming off in the last third of the first round and then early in the second round. So I think you could safely trade back to, you know, in the 24 to 32 range, which trading from 7 to 24 would get you a lot.
A lot.
And you'd have to find a team that wanted to give up a lot. I mean, when that's about the move that the Falcons made for Julio Jones, what was 7 or 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they gave up a king's ransom for it. Now, Julio Jones is a great player, but I think teams are a little reluctant to give up that much. So
right.
A trade that one trade back from 7 to mid-20s is probably unlikely, but you can do that thing where you trade back to 15, and then you see it, and you go, meh, there's a lot of guys we still like, and then trade back again. So
right.
To go back that far, it probably takes several trades. What I think is also a possibility is trading up from the top of the second round into the bottom of the first round, exactly what we did in 2012 to get Doug Martin to target a Darius Geis.
Right.
Problem is you don't have a whole lot of draft capital to make those sort of trades. You might have to dip into your 2019 picks, but if you like a guy enough. The good thing about picking a running back at, say, 30 or 31 instead of 38 is that a first-round pick, you get that fifth-year option on their contract.
Mm.
And just the difference in a few picks there really gives you that possibility. If the guy really pans out, you got one more year of relatively cost-controlled control.
Yeah, that's a great point. There's a couple of questions that I can kind of combine here about the O-line. Steven asked if you think we're going to draft O-line, and then Myrna was asking if with J.R. Sweezy, we're not knowing his health exactly, will that make it more valuable to take someone like Quentin Nelson in the first round?
Yeah, I would suggest that we would not hesitate to draft Quentin Nelson at number 7. I think it would be surprising if we drafted any other offensive linemen. Guards, interior linemen don't normally go that high. They got to really be a transcendent prospect like he is. And yes, you could take a tackle, but I think it'd be a bit of a reach, and it's not really the biggest need for us right now. And then in the second round, I'm thinking you're going to want to use that pick on a running back or a defensive back or maybe even another pass rusher. I just don't think offensive line is right there at the top. So we might find depth for it,
right,
maybe in the fourth or fifth round like we do with Kevin Pamphill.
Yeah, that's a really great point. We've had a lot of versions of the question of if there's any chance Barkley will still be there.
Well, I've seen a few mock drafts that show that.
I have too, which I think is interesting.
So here, let's figure out the scenario. Quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is possible. It really just takes the Giants taking one.
Yeah, that was what I said in mine, is that I think a trade with them, or maybe they even just decide to take it. I really think that we've talked how the quarterback situation is what most determines the Bucs. I think the Giants are who are determining everything for us right now, which is kind of nice because at least that gives you a few picks between them to figure out what you want to do. It's not like they're picking right before us where you'd be scrambling in that minute. Then at least you have a couple picks to go where you can be trying to figure out some more alternatives.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Giants are the fulcrum upon which it is going to turn there. To continue answering the question, the Giants do take a quarterback, so they go 1, 2, 3. Cleveland is at 4. That's where everybody thinks that Barkley's going to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they think that a pass rusher, the best pass rusher, is a bigger help for them. I mean, they did sign Carlos Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have a viable option at running back.
That's a good point.
I still think you don't pass up on Barkley, but they might. That's the scenario. Then Denver or a team trading into that spot takes the fourth quarterback. And what you need then is for Indy to want the offensive lineman more than the running back. I think that's unlikely. It seems to me like Barkley would be a great fit in New York, in Cleveland, second pick, or in Indy. And for him to get past all three of those
seems unlikely.
But it's at least a reasonable scenario.
And that's why Valenzuela actually asked us if there's any chance we trade up to get him.
But I would think it would have to be only a couple picks because we just don't have a lot of draft capital to move up. For Indy, for the Jets to move up from 6 to 3 a little while ago, they had to pay 2 second-rounders this year and a second-rounder next year to make the move from 6 to 3. It would probably cost less to move from 7 to 5 because, for one thing, they were clearly moving from 6 to 3 to get a quarterback, and that puts an extra premium on it. But I still think it costs, if not your second-round pick, then a second-round or a third-round pick next year, and that's pretty steep. Now, you know, it's easy kind of to trade a pick next year and go, well, we don't have to worry about that right now, which is somewhat true, and maybe they could do that. But those are valuable assets. I think a trade-up is less likely, especially because we don't have that third-round pick anymore.
Right.
But it's possible.
Yeah, that's interesting. We've had a couple people ask us about Vita Vea and if what we did in free agency makes him less necessary.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the Bucs probably really like Vita Vea. And had it not been for the additions of the defensive lineman, he would totally be right there in the group of players that I'd be thinking we'd be looking at that high pick. But, wow, you can never have enough. You know, you can draft a good player at any position and justify it because you're thinking long term. But with other needs that we might have that are a little bit more pressing, with the team, I think, still expecting to win this year, you would be drafting a player that now you're going to have to figure out snaps for him and Bo Allen and Gerald McCoy and some for Mitch Unrein. I mean, it would be a good problem to have,
right,
but it's probably not the number one thing that we would need at pick number 7.
Okay.
But I think he's going to be a great player.
Yep. Jeremy wanted to know what our kicking situation is and who all's on the roster for that currently.
Well, we got just one, Chandler Catanzaro, who is a free agent acquisition, unrestricted free agent. He's kicked for both the Cardinals and the Jets. He's got good career numbers. He's also a good kickoff guy. Patrick Murray was not retained. He became a free agent. So they have not brought in another guy. And you see some years where you just go with one guy, and you see some years where you do competition.
Right.
We could still bring a guy, but it looks like this is just here's our guy. This is a job. He's been pretty consistent throughout his career. He's been able to hit 50-plus yarders, which is something we needed. And he's been a good kickoff guy the last couple of years. So that's kind of the whole package that we're looking for.
And then we can kind of end on this. Bruno wanted to know how much of a role you think Tui Kolovatu could have next season.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, he was drafted because they thought he could be a real good run stopper. And, you know, obviously he didn't get a chance to show up because of the injury, and he was on injured reserve the whole time. He will have to work his way into what's now a pretty thick rotation there with Gerald McCoy and Bo Allen. And Bo Allen's supposed to be a great run stopper, and then Mitch Unrein. But you do often use 4 defensive tackles in a rotation. So if he can win that 4th job, he could see a decent amount of playing time. You know, he hasn't played an NFL snap yet, so even if he made the team and was in the rotation, I think he'd be brought along slowly.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us on Buccaneers Insider Live presented by Miller Lite. And thanks so much for joining us. And as always, every week we're going to be right here. Go to your Facebook page for the Buccaneers page to see our live video and get all of your questions asked and answered. We'll see you next week.